Amen. Good morning, everyone. Glad you're here. I don't know why anybody would ever want to miss. That never makes sense to me why you would want to miss where the presence and glory of God is. You can find a lot of places that are just super religious, and we bless that if that's what you're into, but but what in the world? I mean, when Jesus shows up in all of his glory and his power and his might, is there anything better? Like, once you cross over, why would you ever want to go back? Like, why would, I mean, one Pastor Juan's experienced what it's like to live in poverty, what it's like to live in the jungle, right? Ask him if he wants to go back there. No, he wants to go back now to demonstrate what God's done in his life, broke a cycle of poverty over his own personal life, and now look at his family walking in prosperity, if you will, and the blessing of the Father. He wants to take that back to Argentina and demonstrate what it looks like to break that off of a family line. So you don't ever want to go back. So friends, I'm just telling you right up front, I don't ever want to go back to what I used to do. Because every time we gather, it's fresh, it's new, it's amazing. At least it is for me, man. I mean, I don't know where you know, I don't know where you live, but that's where I want to live. I want to just say one more time, welcome to John Nock and the team from Chico. Come here real quick. Let me introduce you real fast. I think you said something when you were here two weeks ago. To me, that I think you ought to just tell the family about us being what you believe we are called to be. It's kind of a reaffirmation to the family that's here this morning about who we are, where we're headed, and what we're building. Can you do that? So, welcome, John. Would you welcome him this way?
Thank you. Thank you. I just was again impacted. Yes, glory. You're called to steward God's glory in a region. That's your calling. So you're doing well with that. Continue that in that. But I was touched again with a testimony of just the family. You know, here you have someone who has this impactful experience, and yet it's all of our experience. And I felt that. I didn't feel like it was just him sharing about it, but I felt like it was like you guys went with him. And it was like you reconnecting in that same kind of a way. But I just really believe that you guys are heading into a season as a church of a good land and blessing. And you know, you go through sometimes the testing season where your hearts are tested and things come up. And we never like it when things come up because it's a little bit ugly and it's a little bit messy. And it's like, oh, I didn't know that was in there. I didn't know I had that attitude. I didn't know I had that issue in my life. And we get squeezed a little bit and it kind of comes up. But in those moments of testing, God is purifying and enlarging our capacity so that we can carry the largeness of the vision that God has for us. And I was telling Pastor that I believe that you guys are on that last hump when you go through that testing season and you're coming into that good land season where there's going to be a blessings of milk and honey and all kinds of good things. And you're on that last kind of push where it's like the testing of the heart is there. Are we going up together? That's the question that God's asking. Are you guys as a congregation going into the good land together? And I feel like even in that waiting stage, there's a unifying to say, hey, let's go up and take our land together. We are unified now. We've been tested. There's maybe been some people that have died in the desert along the way, you know. And again, we don't need to get into those details, but we've been tested, and our hearts are unified, and we're gonna go take our good land, our inheritance. And God has an inheritance for this church that you guys are to rise up in faith and take in this season. And it centers around family and unity, but it also centers around the glory and the presence of God that you guys have stewarded well. And it's time now to take that out on the streets. It's time now to see people come into this place that don't yet know Jesus and be impacted with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you to start to invite people. Start to invite your neighbors. Start to invite family members. Just say, hey, come to church with me on Sunday. Don't give them a choice. Pick them up. Bring them to church. Get them into God's presence, and let's see what starts to happen as God begins to fill these seats with people that need to hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. So I pray a blessing, an impartation from across the state of California. We come here into this state of gold, the golden state of California, and we release the blessing upon this church, and we ask, it's harvest time. We speak out harvest time. We speak out harvest time. We speak out harvest time over this church, and release that now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Praise God. He mentioned expanding our capacity to receive what it is that God is doing, and that's really what I want to touch on this morning for a few moments. This is week 3 of a series we started called Healing, Something Worth Fighting For. And I've been very proud of how you've gone after this. And I want to exhort you and tell you that what's been taught, what's been released, is not something that we're just going to put on the shelf and watch collect dust. We're going to continue to go after healing. We're going to fight for an increase of God's goodness, not only on your life, but on the lives of those you touch. Come on, somebody. We've got to embrace the promises of God, which are yes and amen. So I want to just touch this morning on this part 3 of this mini-series on healing, something worth fighting for. I want to talk about the idea of the anointing to impart. I want to talk to you a bit about what it is that's required of us to release the healing over people. Because it's important that we understand how this works. I've been a little bit blown away by the recent lotto craziness. Was it almost like $1 billion? How did you know that? One of our 20-somethings, I have $1.6 billion. I only bought 100 tickets. I mean, imagine with me, if you will, if you have been given the winning lotto numbers. Wouldn't that be amazing? The thing is, as a Christian, would you turn it in? Would you like, yeah, look at me. I go to Cross Point Life Church, right? Sometimes. And they were etched and embedded into your heart and into like a key card, so that all you have to do is swipe the card and instantly your lotto winnings are deposited into your account. What was it, like $900 million? It was a stupid amount of money. But what if you chose, now here's a stupid statement I'm just going to make real quick. What if you chose not to swipe the card for some reason? You just procrastinated taking that card and accessing your lotto funds for another day. Would that be the most stupid thing you could ever do? You've got millions of dollars just waiting for you. All you got to do is access it. Your reason away, the money is mine, it'll still be there, I'm a little busy today, I'll put it off to another time, I'll retrieve it maybe tomorrow. What's the big deal? It sounds ridiculous, I know. And I'm not personally one that likes the idea of the lotto, and I personally don't buy tickets. For all you really spiritual people out there, that didn't, you know, I didn't buy one. Just want you to know, I sure thought about it though. I just know what happens. Like, the one place I go to buy my lotto ticket, you'll be there. It's like the moment I go into a casino in Las Vegas, I'm just going to put a quarter in, right? And I put the quarter in, and I'm like, come on, baby. And someone walks up from my, Pastor Barry, how are you? You step to the side and act like the person next to you put the quarter in. That's what you do. And of course, it hits, ding, 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 ding. You won $1 million. Thank you, Jesus. It's just the way it works. And I heard the story of an office pool that put their money together. They're all going to buy a lot of tickets and hope that they're going to all split it, right? And so they all put their money in. I don't know how many tickets they bought, but they're going to split it amongst themselves. And they did win. But it was like $14. That would be kind of like how it would work with me. Like, hey, let's all put in, and you end up putting like more money than you get back. So that's just why I think I'll stay away from gambling of any kind. But here's the thing I thought about. I'm not in any way advocating lotto. I'm not endorsing gambling. But it makes an analogy. Here's the analogy. The lotto scenario isn't too different from what we know to be true about Christ's followers. Genesis 1:26 says, God spoke, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish and the sea, the birds and the air, the cattle, and yes, earth itself, and every animal that moves on the face of the earth. interesting to me that we know that not long after these words, let me rephrase that. From the beginning, it was God's intention that we would rule responsibly the whole earth. And of course, we know that not long after these words were spoken, that sin entered the world and that dominion was forfeited of sorts. The underlying reality of the passage is that we are free to truly walk the planet and we are free to be responsible to rule over it. What if I were to tell you this morning that nothing's changed since Genesis 1 was penned? That even today in the 21st century, we still have access to that dominion and all the things that were made available to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. I'll use this terminology, heaven, if you will. Because I believe Eden, was a type of heaven. It was a perfect environment until sin entered in. Hang on for a second. Let me just continue to explain this a little bit. Look at Genesis chapter 12. It says in verses 2 and 3, I'll make you a great nation and bless you. I'll make you famous. You'll be a blessing. Say blessing. Who wants to be a blessing? You'll be a blessing. It wasn't like you might be a blessing. It says you will be a blessing. I'll bless those who bless you. Those who curse you, I'll curse. I like to know he's got my back, don't you? And all the families of the earth will be blessed through you. There's the lotto winnings I was referencing. We all have the resources of heaven, just like in Eden, to walk in freedom, which is Genesis 1, and to be a blessing to all God brings into our lives. It doesn't have to be financial blessing. It could be simply a word of encouragement. It could be a hug. It could be a smile. It could be your time, your talent, maybe even your resource. But we're here to be a blessing on the earth. But we're choosing, now check this out, we're choosing to not access the funds, if you will, of what is rightfully ours as sons and daughters of the King of an amazing kingdom. Did you know all the resource of heaven is being made available to you and I? All we have to do is access it, pull it down to earth, and spend it here on earth. I don't know about you, but when we get to heaven, I'm probably not going to need $1 million. I'm probably not going to need healing. I'm probably not going to need, and the list goes on. But while I'm here on earth, there are people all around us that need you to access what's been made available to you on earth and pray for their healing and believe for their touch and believe that they can be blessed because you are blessed. I'm telling you, that's where it is. If healing is our inheritance, so is the healing for the one or the two or the three. And the only thing that's hindering that person being touched by the hand of God is us accessing all the resources that's been given to us as sons and daughters. It says in the book of Acts, I'm going to quickly go to the New Testament and shift gears with you real quickly. It says here in the book of Acts chapter 3, go on to the next slide. So, but Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, let's just say it with me, rise up and walk, be made whole, right? I like what it says out of the message, Eugene Peterson, who just passed away. What a great man of God. I love Eugene Peterson. But he said this, Peter said, I don't have a nickel to my name. That's most of us here. I don't have anything. I don't carry cash anymore, so you have to get the card out and swipe it. I don't have a nickel to my name, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Walk. What is it about this passage found in the book of Acts that speaks to this topic of healing worth fighting for? It's called impartation. I want to speak for a few moments, just briefly, on the idea that you've got to understand from where and positionally how you are to release what it is that you carry inside of you to see someone rise up and walk. This morning, I love how the Spirit works and moves. It was no plan, but we know that God moves in our midst and we are obedient to his movement. And when Pastor Renee got up and asked you to activate and go after what God was speaking to you, people came up. And what do we begin to do? We begin to pray and we begin to lay hands on you and believe God for your touch, to stir something up inside of you, to believe for whatever it is that God wants to impart to you today. The problem with us a lot of times, and I'm not going to speak on this, but the challenge is for us to act and obey, or obey and act. Father speaks, out of my obedience, I act on what he's telling me to do. If we were doing what's been given to us to do, we would begin to see the watermark of our city rise, and we'd see a lot more signs and wonders and healings than we've seen. I'm ready to see what's been promised over San Diego. And I believe it's starting to happen, but I'm looking to Cross Point to be a part of that. As John just shared a moment ago, we are a center, an apostolic resource center. We're a hub that will be used to bring healing, not just in the house, but in the public square, in the marketplace. And it won't be Pastor Barry in your neighborhood, because I don't live next to you. It won't be me necessarily, I'll do my own part, but it won't be necessarily me being doing, it'd be all of us together. Not two or three, all of us together, say all. So this passage is profound in how healing is released. I'm giving something that has been entrusted to me, the presence of God, Holy Spirit inside of me, and that by faith, I'm releasing it to someone else. I love when I read this passage closely. It says, I don't have anything in the natural to give you. So it ain't about me. I don't have anything. I can't heal nothing. I can't heal an ant. I step on ants. That's how spiritual I am. I hate them. Spray them. Get rid of them. I don't know where that's going, But what has been given to me, what's been given to you, what's been given to us is this. Here's the key. To the deposit of heaven, I give to you. Here's the key. Wait for it. Just wait for it. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, be made whole. Now, what kind of a power is this? In the name of Barry, get up and walk. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. And sometimes we get misguided when we're praying for people to think that it's something about us. It is not about us. It is not about you. It's about you in the context of by faith, I step into my position as a son or a daughter, and by faith, I release the healing of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's part of the problem, is there's too much of us that gets in the way of believing God for someone's healing. We're here to make him famous, not you. Not me, not Cross Point, not this family. This family makes Jesus famous when we function together as sons and daughters and we bless one another. We live out Genesis 1, where we believe that we have the freedom to walk the planet in dominion, but we're free to be a blessing. Out of Genesis 12, we're blessed to be a blessing. Right? Okay, I think you get this. So you have an inheritance. Release by faith what abides in you and claim your inheritance. It's yours to spend. Don't waste the precious and awesome resources that have been made available to you and I by faith to release Holy Spirit and believe for other people's healings. Keep contending. Keep believing. Keep accessing heaven. Don't stop because you haven't seen the result yet. You keep going after it. You keep believing for it. You keep putting the wind in people's sails, and you don't let the evil one convince you that you're dead, that you have no faith, that you are nobody that can because of your past. John 10:10 says, the thief will come to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to rip you off of what he knows is our inheritance. And the second part of 10:10 says what? Thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to what? Give you life. Part of that life, abundant life, is found in you living out of your inheritance. You know how fun it is? Just yesterday, I was at Sheldon's having a cup of coffee and waiting for some people to show up. And on Saturdays, they have different people that come and they play and they sing, you know, live entertainment. And I got there a little early And I was sitting there drinking my coffee, and this young gal, these two young gals sat down. One was playing the guitar, and one was playing a djembe. No, what is it? Cajon. And I started listening. I'm like, oh my goodness. I couldn't get away from it. I think I was the only one paying attention, right? And I go, that's a sound of heaven. Like, that girl's good, man. She's got an amazing voice. Kind of indie, pop. It's really a cool vibe. So eventually I got over there and I said, hey, tell me your story. We moved here from the East Coast and we came out because of the music scene in San Diego. And I got to talk to him a little bit just because I know what my son and Jordan and what they've been embracing for years in the music scene. And so I got to talk to them briefly. I said, listen, I'm a Christ follower. I happen to be the lead of a family here in La Mesa. And I said, I just want you to know something. I said, you've got a sound that is not just from this world. I said, you have a sound that God wants you to release on the earth. It's a sound of heaven. And you need to keep it up. I don't know what your faith is. I don't know where you're from in terms of your journey with Christ. But I want to encourage you, don't stop doing what you're doing because God's going to begin to show you how your sound can be released. She said, well, she's not a Christian. I don't care. It's not always our responsibility to lead everybody to Christ. The Bible says, some plant, some water. I watered something yesterday. And I believe that she at some point is going to recognize that what I did was I practiced what we're talking about this morning. No, she didn't rise from the dead. But excuse me, when was the last person you raised from the dead? So don't put that one on me. Or for that matter, when was the last person you prayed for that got healed? Ouch. Drop the mic. I won't drop it because I won't break it. But see, the point is not it's just a poke at all of us. Like wherever we are on a journey, we've got to listen this morning because there's an opportunity for us to impart through the anointing what God wants us to impart. Impartation is for all of us. Let's move on. Isaiah 61, we know the passage. It says this. The Spirit of God, read this with me out loud. This is good. The Spirit of God, the Master, is on me. Put your name there. Because God anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, announce freedom to all captives, and pardon all prisoners. Isn't that good? Look at that part. It says, God, what me? What does it say? Somebody tell me what it says. Anointed. To understand the premise of impartation, or I'll use this phrase, it sounds new agey, but it's not, transference. Because in essence, when I'm praying for someone, and we'll get there in a minute, when I lay my hands on somebody, there's a transference of God's presence, Holy Spirit, from me, right, to them. Right? Is that transference?
Yeah.
It's a weird word, but don't be afraid of it. Because the evil one loves to take something that's God-oriented or kingdom-oriented, and he loves to spin it, like the rainbow, for example. Right? That's God's idea, the rainbow. That's all I'll say about that. So transference is what it's about, impartation. So check this out. I believe that impartation and anointing are two peas in the same pod. They belong together. Anointing has been used primarily over the years to bring healing, restoration, consecration, or sanctification of a person or an object for a purpose. We sanctify it. We anoint it. In the Old Testament, anointing was practiced in many ways. The word simply means, in the context of the Old Testament, it meant to smear with oil. And I thought about it, and I totally forgot. I was going to give you an object lesson on this. But to smear with oil, to pour oil on someone, to apply oil on somebody's body or head. The Hebrew word translated anoint was mashah. Where's Mark? Mark, you here? How do you say it? M-A-S-A-H. Mashah. Thank you very much. Hebrew scholar, thank you. Anointing in the Old Testament was thus used to mean the consecration of a person or an object, such as an altar for the service of God. Why do we still go to an altar? Because we believe that there's something precious about an altar. Churches are doing away with altars. They're going away from impartation. They're going away from healing. All because they want people just to show up. Well, I have news for them. If people show up and the glory and the power of God is not in that building, I wonder how powerful it really is just to pack a building out. Amen, Pastor. That was really a good word. Made you nervous, I know, but it's truth. We believe in a consecrated altar. You consecrate your altar in your home. You consecrate your altar in your heart. In the New Testament here, and if you remember Samuel, when Samuel went to anoint the then before he was King David as a little boy, remember what it talks about? They anointed him, they consecrated him. Literally, I believe that what Samuel did, he poured oil over David's head, and it just ran down his head, all down his body. What happened, Samuel, in a sense, gave away the anointing, if you will. He imparted the anointing to the then young David before he became king. In the New Testament, is the anointing transferred? And I say, yes. How is it transferred? I believe it's by the laying out of hands through impartation. I'm truthfully not sure how far you can take the idea of impartation. There's been a lot of people talk about it. There are a lot of people afraid of it. I get it. If I can impart something good, I can impart something bad. So I don't want everybody laying hands on me. Let me just take a Selah moment and say something to you. Do you know why we try to have our altar team wear badges? So that you know when you walk in who you can trust to lay hands on you. It's not just for identification, although that helps. If I go into a church, I don't want everybody and their, dog. I don't want anybody touching me. Right, Melissa? We don't. We know why. Because if I can lay hands on Craig and I can impart the goodness of God, if I don't know the person who's laying hands on me, they can also impart something that isn't so good. That's a whole nother topic, but just understand that there is a transfer that takes place. Someone suggested I can impart you my gift of healing or my gift of leadership. I don't know that to be true. I don't know if I have the right to do that, to be honest. God gave me these to steward, so I don't know if I have the right to give you something that's been given to me, but this I do know, such as I have a nickel, a dime, a dollar, or whatever's inside of me, such as I had, I'm going to give to you. And whatever you get, receive it in the name of Jesus. Getting way quiet on me now. See, anointing is supernatural empowerment to release the kingdom of heaven onto the earth. It is power in raw form. We are simply conduits to release his manifest glory on those that he gives us access to. This is not something that we do, but that he does through us. It's an act of faith. It's an act of obedience. It's important to note that there are no superstars carrying the anointing. But there are those who are super carriers of his anointing. Let me explain a bit of how, and this is what John referenced a moment ago, and this is how we're going to end today in just a few moments. Because I think some of you are going to want to expand your capacity. You're going to want to expand your capacity to carry the anointing so that when you pray for people, there's something to impart. Have you ever been around someone you felt like had a greater capacity to impart something? Like, wow, they're just such strong carriers of the glory. Let me explain a little bit as to how this works, because I believe there is levels of impartation, but it's not based on necessarily the person imparting. It's really upon the person receiving. So does everyone receive the same level of impartation when we pray for them and when the hands are laid on? It's the mercy of God that protects us from receiving more than we can handle. Pastor Bill Johnson, most of us know from Bethel Reading, says this: revelation always brings responsibility. And hunger, listen to this. Hunger is the thing that prepares our hearts to carry the weight of that responsibility. Pause. Sometimes the issue in our lives is that we're not hungry enough to want to make more room for his anointing. We like the idea of presence. We like the idea of glory. We like the idea of healing. We like the idea of all this stuff, but we're not making room, more room for him in our hearts. So our character must be able to uphold the amount of power we carry. I'll say that again. Our character must be able to uphold the amount of power we carry. Or else we're a danger to those around us. That's strong. But I blame Bill for that one, so that's not mine. So the answer is no. Not everyone receives the same level of anointed in impartation. God knows what you need and what you can handle. Say amen to that. All right, good. A couple more things. 1 John 2:27 says this, "But the anointing that you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him." For impartation to occur, there must be a type of transference, as we mentioned a moment ago. 1 John 2:27 speaks to the truth that we receive an anointing from whom? Jesus himself. I read that to you already, 1 John 2:20. Well, I should say this. 1 John 2:20, the ESV says it this way, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge." Make no mistake, you and I have been anointed, and we're carriers of his power, whether you believe it or not. His glory, and it is to be released for the purpose of manifesting the kingdom of heaven here on earth. That's why you have power. That's why you're anointed. That's why God deposited his spirit inside of you. It wasn't so you could be just simply buddies with Holy Spirit, which is really, really cool to do and to be buddies with Holy Spirit. But if you're hoarding your inheritance, you are no good to the kingdom. I don't mean to offend, because I've hoarded many times. And we all know what hoarding is. We've held back, we've just accumulated, we just get more knowledge, just give me more and more and more and more and more, and we're so full that we don't even know what to do with what's inside of us. We've got so much knowledge. Many of us have been to so many conferences, and forgive me what I'm about to say. You've been to so many conferences, but you still look the same, you still act the same, you still look the same. So what good is a conference? Unless you go to a conference, not only do you learn, but you experience something that takes you to a higher place and expands your capacity to grow and glow in the glory. Hebrews 6:1-2 says this. Give me a lot of scripture this morning. "Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment." The Apostle Paul here named the laying on of hands as one of the six basic fundamental doctrines a Christian should understand. This places it in the very foundation of our Christian beliefs. And in many circles of the modern church, we have ignored this, and we've said no laying on of hands, no impartation, no praying for the sick. We believe in it, but we're not going to do it because we don't want to offend, and we don't want to create that culture. And I say, poo-poo that particular mindset, kick it out the door, and let's live with what the Bible teaches. It's possible that we haven't been as intentional as we should about the idea of impartation/anointing. We like to talk about anointing because it's powerful. We you know, we talk about anointing, like, hey, you know, I've got power, right? And we love the anointing. Matter of fact, for a long time, I felt like a revival was all we talked about, anointing, 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 anointing. But like everything in the Christian church, we need the pendulum to come back to where it needs to be, and that's a balanced place. A balanced place meaning that the best place for you to live is in the place of understanding of what's inside of you, that you're anointed to give it away. You're anointed to impart it. You're anointed to, as I've shared scripture with you, to pray for the sick and watch them recover. You're anointed to love the one. You're anointed to bring freedom to the prisoner. You're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed, you're anointed. And the only way that anointing comes out is through impartation, if you will. Let me just add this, and then we're gonna wrap up this, and I have something I want to do to activate this morning before we go. Some of you probably this morning are living in a space of disappointment. And you've laid hands on people and nothing's happened. You pray for the sick and nothing's happened. And you think somewhere in the back of your mind that this has diminished your anointing. You think somehow that because you haven't seen the manifestations of that which you believe for, that there's something wrong with you. That you're not as spiritual as the next person. That your anointing must be much less than somebody else's. You ready for this? This is so deep. This is so rich. You ready? It's a lie. It's a lie. Go back to John 10. The thief wants to rip you off of the promises of God, which are yes and amen. If he says it, he means it, and he'll give it to you. If he gave it to you, he won't take it away. Once he gives you a gift, he doesn't take it back. Am I right, Ron? Once he gives you something, he doesn't take it back. Even if you choose not to walk in kingdom power, even if you choose not to walk with Jesus, even if you turn your back on the kingdom, the gifts he imparted to you are still there. So, this afternoon before we go, we want to lay hands on you. And we want to expand. You say, we've already done that. No, we haven't. We were obedient to a moment. But what I want to do is I want to lay hands on you and activate, expand your capacity to receive more anointing. And then your responsibility is going to have to be, God, show me in my life where I am not making room for you. Listen to me, I do it the same way you do it. But if for example, I don't know if I even want to say this, but if for example, you find yourself in an addictive lifestyle, or you binge a lot on Netflix, or you binge on other things, or whatever. If you find yourself going places where you shouldn't go, then you have to understand something. The Father, number one, wants to heal your heart, because there's a reason why we do those types of things. It's not just because we like watching TV. It's because sometimes there's a lack inside of us that's looking for something to fill that void. And when Holy Spirit is not the preeminent person in your life, then we put other people in his place. So we need to restore that first of all. And then secondly, say, God, show me where to make more room for you. Because then there's not a person in this room, balcony down below, that doesn't want to make more room for Jesus to move through you. You love impartation. You love the anointing. You love his presence. Am I right? Am I right? Maybe I'm in the wrong church. I don't know. Matthew says, chapter 10 says this, bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. Kick them out. You have been treated generously, so live generously. I'd like to conclude this morning with the idea, as I mentioned, of increasing your capacity for more of the glory of God. We find the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8, verse 4 through 15. It teaches how the farmer spread the seeds of salvation. It also teaches us a principle of how we receive from God. Our heart is the soil, and the Father God is the farmer who spreads the seed, which is the word of God. For our analogy this morning, impartation, he casts it into the soil of our heart. Then the birds, which are demonic attacks, they come to kill, to steal, and destroy. This is where the variation of impartation can occur. The difference is how any seed grows depends on the soil in which it's planted and prepared and ready that soil is for seeds to grow. See, after the seed is planted, it can grow very quickly if it's given proper water, time in the presence of God, Holy Spirit, and sunlight, which a seed needs to grow. So in Luke 8, the parable, what's the soil of your heart looking like this morning? Are you nurturing, watering that seed that's been planted, whether it was decades ago, whether it's recent impartation of planting, some kind of planting? And are you continuing to believe for the seen harvest? See, God is doing something. The question is, will we go with him? And I want to conclude out of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, that I want to stir up what's inside of you this morning that's been imparted to you so we can leave this house today believing that God has anointed you to do the things that we've shared this morning, to see you walk in signs and wonders and power. Anybody want that today? Anybody really want to see something happen, not through everyone else's life, but through your life? Anybody want to believe that God wants to use you because you're anointed? He wants to use you to impart. He wants you to use you to transfer the kingdom of God into people that are unbelievers. How many understand one of the best tools to bring a non-believer into the kingdom is to see them healed? What? I had this tumor on my side, and it's no longer there. That's Jesus. Oh, well, I want to meet him. Well, let's do it right now. Jesus, we ask that you come into our life. Are you getting this? Stand with me, please. For the sake of time, I know it's been an amazing morning. 2 hours have flown by quickly. But I don't have any real easy way to do this. So I don't believe that you have to shimmy and shake and foam at the mouth to receive an impartation. I believe that by faith you receive what it is that God wants to give to you. Amen? Can I tell you, can we move this real quick? Here's what I want to do. We're not going to do a fire tunnel. I'm just going to lay hands. But what we'll do is we're going to start on this side today. We're going to start with your group. And we're just going to walk by, and I'm just going to lay hands on you, okay? But I want to tell you a real quick story about impartation. And I feel like it's relevant. I'm taking so much time, but I feel like you're with me enough to hear this. Many, many years ago, we were pastoring in San Jose, and I was in a place where I wasn't real happy with what was going on in the church and my own life. And I said, listen, there's one of the famous Argentine speakers is going to be in Springfield, Missouri, the headquarters of the Assemblies of God. I want to go back, and I want to experience something from him. I need something. No, not Claudio, not Sergio, but Carlos Anacondia, famous evangelist in Argentina. So fast forward, I get there. I wait, believe it or not, I waited 2 hours outside in the lobby to get in so I could get a seat. Good seat. It was a big fan-shaped sanctuary, set a few thousand people. I found my spot about seven rows behind in the middle. And, you know, the service went on. It was great. You know, I didn't understand a word he said because he spoke in, you know, Spanish the whole time. I had an interrupter the whole time as well, but I wasn't really tracking with the interrupter. So he said, we're going to pray for everybody in the house. Thousands of people, every single person. Fuego, 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 fire, fire, fire. I'm like, all right. So wave after wave of people, they'd line up, and he'd walk down, and he'd lay hands on them, and people were falling out, and people were manifesting demons, and all this stuff was happening. And I just thought, Lord, I'm going to wait for the perfect time. So I waited time after time. A wave of people would go to the front. This by now, it's been hours we've been in the service, and the sanctuary's starting to kind of clean out, and people are leaving, and I said, okay, now's my time. I get in line, I get up there, and I'm waiting. And you know how when you know the person's coming, he's to my right, you can feel the energy, you can feel all the, you know, people getting excited and all everything happening. And he walks up to me, and I'm hungry, guys. I'm hungry for more of God. I want something desperately from God. I want there to be an impartation. And I'm standing there waiting, I'm waiting. And the anticipation comes. He walks up, and I'm ready to fly back five rows. I'm just like, I want to be one of those people that says, woo, right? And I'm waiting. And he comes and he lays hands on me. And I'm like, not one thing. I didn't feel a thing. I was kind of ticked at God. I'm not kidding you. I said this. I go, Seriously? I came all the way from California for nothing? I didn't receive one thing. Check this out. So I'm arguing with God. That couldn't have been a 10-second argument. I'm just arguing with God. He's gone by. He's about four or five people there, and he stops. He looks. He walks back. He lays hands on me a second time. I'm like, this is it, baby. This is it. He gave me, you know, he gave me nothing. So I walked away, sat down. It's late by this time. I'm irritated with God. I'm irritated with the whole experience. I get my little rental car. I go to a shake and fries place. I'm hungry. I'm going to douse myself in a burger, chocolate shake, and French fries. I mean, does that sound like the glory or what? I jump in the car, and I decide I'm not going to go back to the hotel. It's midnight. I'm going to drive to Branson, Missouri. I've never been there before. I'm just going to drive. It's an hour and a half. Well, I'm just going to drive. Here's what happens. I'm in the middle of my drink and my shake. I'm just in the middle of this whole thing. And about 20 minutes down the road, Holy Spirit speaks to me. He said, you tell your family all the time, it doesn't take a feeling to receive impartation. You receive it by faith. Son, not only did I have the man of God pray for you once, I had him come back and lay hands on you a second time. Don't you believe for one moment that I haven't given myself to you. I've imparted my glory. I've imparted my presence. You go home by faith and you give it away. I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to feel a thing to receive the impartation of God. Are you ready this morning to receive? Start over here. You guys, just make your way. And as soon as you're done, if you want to foam at the mouth and frolic, you can. Otherwise, go home and have a shake and a French fries and a burger. Amen? God bless you. I love you. Thanks for being here. Let's pray. Come on through.